Welcome to the Procurement Show.
Hello and welcome to the Procurement Show, the show that tackles the topics we all need to think about and sets out to explore the more interesting bits of procurement. I'm Jonathan O'Brien.
And I'm Paul Philpott, and my role this weekend, I'm going to sew some leather patches on this jacket of yours so you look like a librarian.
Or a school professor.
A school professor. That's,
The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, enabling the future of procurement in organisations around the globe.
This week, our guest is a renowned expert on the importance of developing soft skills and emotional intelligence in procurement. You can't open LinkedIn without seeing some nuggets of wisdom that he has posted, because he's author of Procure Bites and these days is known as the procurement protagonist. Please welcome to the Procurement Show, Tom Mills.
My, what an introduction.
Tom, welcome. It's great to have you on the Procurement Show this week. And we wanted to get you on because you're a bit of an influencer out there on LinkedIn. You're one of these people that's really helping develop the community, which is fabulous. And I'm intrigued to talk about soft skills and emotional intelligence. But why should we be talking about those things in procurement?
I'm going to give you two key reasons. Number one, I think it's an absolute key to the impact you can have in an organization. So in procurement, you're only as effective as the relationship you build internally. And unless you've got a really good set of soft skills, then you're not going to build those partnerships, those relationships, to be able to drive through compliance, to be engaged at the right time to add value, and to be able to deliver real business impact. And then the second reason, and why I think it's becoming even more critical, is that in the world of artificial intelligence, with technology having such an influence across everything we do, it's actually soft skills that will be the differentiator for procurement. Things like decision-making, effective communication, building really good, collaborative, strong partnerships will become even more critical when artificial intelligence is effectively democratizing everything else. Now's the time that we need to be really thinking about investing in soft skills.
Because this isn't something new. This is something that the sales community has done for many years. To be in the world of sales, you would be evaluated based on your emotional intelligence, emotional competence, because good salespeople get the sale because they can relate to people and connect with people. We've just forgotten that in procurement.
Now, gentlemen, if I can just pause you now, I want to know, what is emotional intelligence and why is it relevant to procurement?
Emotional intelligence is effectively your ability to be able to have a level of self-awareness in terms of who you are and how you interact with people to be able to effectively build good relationships and to get things done. So I think emotional intelligence is actually the key differentiator when it comes to leadership. There's been many good studies over a number of years that prove that the people who are most effective leaders are the ones with a high level of emotional intelligence. And it's actually emotional intelligence rather than normal IQ, which is the key differentiator. So one of the things that was game-changing to my career was when about 2006, I read the book Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman. And I'd give anyone who's listening to this the advice to get that on your book list, because it absolutely showed me that some of the challenges that you have in business, like difficult conversations and perhaps struggles with resilience, that type of thing, it all comes down to your level of self-awareness around who you are and how you interact with individuals within the business.
Emotional Intelligence by Daniel, just give us that name of that book again.
Daniel Goldman.
Okay, make a note of that.
So with that in mind, you've mentioned IQ. Is there an equivalent for this in terms of acronym?
EQ.
Cool.
Yes.
And I hear EC as well. EQ for emotional intelligence, and EC, is it for emotional competence? Is that right?
Yes.
So on a slightly related matter, if I think about the procurement functions that I've worked with, especially in the last few years, everybody is under pressure. It's a pressure time, I think, for us in procurement, because there's a number of factors. We perhaps don't have the influence that we need in the business. We're up against some real tough negotiations sometimes, and in latter times, fighting price increases and dealing with suppliers that are really perhaps determined to get an increase through and getting quite berated by the rest of the business. So it's tough. It's uphill into machine gun fire some of the time. So you've got to be pretty resilient if you're going to work in procurement these days. How can we do that? Is that that part of developing our emotional intelligence as well?
Yeah. So I mentioned in my description of emotional intelligence, that self-awareness piece. And I think a lot of the stresses and strains we feel around those negotiations or those difficult conversations is because we're feeling the impact of those stresses and strains without that mindfulness of being able to take a step back and think, okay, noticing those feelings and not letting them become you. And I know that we're probably transgressing into the concepts of mindfulness here, but the whole point around emotional intelligence, from my perspective, is it's about developing an awareness of who you are, how you're interrelating with people, and what's going on around you. And once you can disassociate yourself a little bit, it helps you to be able to gain better control over those emotional responses in a way that you can then react in a controlled way and deliver better outcomes. So I actually think it's key to building resilience to be able to have a really good level of self-awareness and emotional intelligence.
If emotional intelligence or EQ is about self-awareness, I think I'm pretty self-aware as to who I am. But it seems that perhaps people aren't as self-aware as they think they are. So they're not aware that they're not necessarily self-aware, which is a whole different level of non-awareness.
They don't know what they don't know.
How does all this help us in a procurement role?
Just a point on your first point there on the we're not aware, what we're not aware of. And I think I know where you're going with that. One of the things that I teach in my course is the importance of the feedback loop, being we are conditioned within a workplace to generally ask for feedback, perhaps at annual review time or something like that. I'm constantly asking for feedback, even to the extent of I may have had a half an hour meeting with a new stakeholder that I've never met before, and I'll ask them at the end of it, how did that go for you? Was there anything more that I could do? And I think that there are ways that we can be much more proactive in developing our self-awareness. But in terms of the second point, why this is so relevant to procurement, Jonathan touched on it in terms of actually one of the unspoken things and one of the reasons I started talking about this a lot more on LinkedIn is that actually procurement, perhaps more than many other jobs, is quite a stressful job because you're constantly dealing with potential conflict, non-compliance issues, you're having to persuade the organization. There's lots of difficult conversations. And what I noticed was over a period of time, there is having an emotional impact which can dent your confidence or can actually spill over into your personal life. So my view is it's absolutely key to being able to develop that resilience and to be able to develop those coping mechanisms, to be able to develop your self-awareness and emotional intelligence. Hopefully that explains it a little bit.
Yeah, that's really useful. And we've talked quite a bit already about emotional competence, emotional intelligence. What about other soft skills? What are the other soft skills that are particularly important for us in procurement?
There's seven things that I think are really important, and they're all underneath this. So I'm going to try to get this right now. Testing my memory. It's been a long day. Teamwork. I know that's quite typical of many roles. Adaptability. That's absolutely key. And I think that's something that's quite missing sometimes from procurement people who are so used to a rigid framework, but you need to be adaptable. Problem solving. So actually a big part of a procurement role is problem solving. You're constantly dealing with a different problem every day. And actually that's a key part of it. And sometimes it can be micro problems. Sometimes it can be really complex things like negotiating a contract. Critical thinking. And I'm going to major on critical thinking because I think that that's something that we are losing, not just within procurement, but as a population. It's that ability to be able to step back and say, actually, what am I being told here? What's going on? Is it true? Do I need to assess this? And I think that that's a core to a procurement role. So there's three more, so bear with me. Communication is absolutely key. And I think it's something that's underrated within procurement. We have a job to make sure that we communicate the policy, the processes, but also that we add PR around what we do and the value we can bring. Interpersonal skills. So how do you relate with people within your business? And how do you make sure that you've got really strong interpersonal skills that lead to really good relationships? And the final one I would say is time management. The ability to be able to prioritize all of the things that are really key to being effective in your procurement job. Because I bet you anyone who's listening to this will be thinking, I've got so much to do. And that is a really key part of being effective in procurement. I think I got the seven, but tell me if I didn't.
And we're out of time.
Sorry, did I bore you with the list?
No. That was my joke about time management at the end.
He's not as good at doing jokes as I am. And actually, you mentioned...
We could debate that.
Yeah, we could, couldn't we?
The Procurement Show. Exploring the more interesting bits about procurement. And now, the Procurement Fun Fact. This edition's exciting tale of preposterous procurement, bizarre buying, or simply saucy sourcing.
In procurement, we love IKEA.
We do. We love IKEA.
We love IKEA.
Yes, indeed.
It's the perfect example of stuff that just does what we need at the right price, which is why we love IKEA.
Love it.
But did you know that in Europe, 1 in 10 people are conceived on an IKEA bed? It does what we need at the right price.
See, that's the thing with IKEA.
Yeah.
You always come out with more than you went in for.
The Procurement Fun Fact. Contact us by email. hello@theprocurementshow.com. Send us a tweet @procurementshow. Or connect with us on LinkedIn. Search for The Procurement Show.
You mentioned quite a few things that I think we're losing or having problems with in society: critical thinking, interpersonal skills. I want to add common sense to that because I think we're lacking in common sense. Going back to EQ, can we learn it? How do we go about learning
it? Good question.
Yeah, really good question. And there's lots of schools of thought on this. And I guess it depends at a deeper level with how much you put in focus on nurture versus nature. I believe that we are all very much conditioned by our childhood. So that has a massive impact on who we are as adults. So whether that's your background, your upbringing, your culture, your religion, how you were schooled, that has a massive impact on how you are as an adult and how you are in the business world. So from my point of view, that nurture, that's where really you develop your core EQ. But I want to flip that to say there's a lot of people think, oh, that's just who he is. That's who I am. I can't help it. But actually, back to that point on self-awareness, once you've taken that first step to be very aware of who you are, you can take steps proactively to be able to manage it or to be able to minimize the impact of those childhood experiences in a way that with that awareness, you can be more effective. So I guess the short answer to the question is, I believe that by the time we're adults, we've all got a level of EQ, which is built into us, but actually we can learn to be more self-aware and be able to adapt and improve in our adult lives.
Yeah, and I've seen that happen in people, actually, people I know that have learnt to develop a degree of self-awareness. I think you're right. There is a nature thing, because if I think about people that I know professionally, personally, some people just have it. They're just naturally good at this stuff, you know, and you think, yeah, you're going to be brilliant in business. You know, you could sell anything to anyone because you just know how to connect with them at a certain level. And other people, perhaps they don't read that body language. They don't pick up on the things that you're saying without saying them. But some of those people can learn some of that. So I think there is a combination of the two there.
It must be quite hard though for some people to learn it, because you say nature versus nurture and all that kind of stuff. If it's something you've been doing all your working life, it's quite difficult to retrain your methodology at that level.
I think it's also how some people think. So if you're on the spectrum somewhere, some degree towards being autistic, then there are degrees there where your brain just doesn't work in that way. And many of the cues that drive self-awareness just don't figure in the same way. So you learn different approaches to doing that, and which is a brilliant example of how people who are on that spectrum learn to adapt and find another way to be able to develop a self-awareness. But it's happening in a different part of the brain, in a different way, I think.
Yes, so definitely.
Everything that you've said seems really straightforward and really obvious. That makes me think, why aren't companies doing this stuff? Because I listen to the 7 soft skills and the fact that we need emotional intelligence. Of course, you know, you listen and think, yeah, of course we need that. But most companies that I've worked with just don't attend to this stuff. Why do you think that is?
So I've got theories on it, and these are just my theories. I haven't tested them, but I have thought about this a lot over the last couple of years. Firstly, and I alluded to it in my earlier answer, there's a view that, oh, it's just part of our personality viewpoint. So like, actually, can you learn it, or is it just who we are? I want to challenge that view, and I can demonstrate that that's not the case, that you can learn and develop. I think there's a lack of a standardized approach, so it's very difficult to be very technical or fact-based with soft skills. So I think that therefore it's more difficult to create a textbook framework around it. It's not easy to certify, so lots of people, companies, businesses are naturally motivated by getting a certificate at the end of a course. Mm-hmm. And then the final point, and I think this is probably quite relevant to procurement, is we're quite fact-based, we're target-driven, and I think it's hard to pin improvements down to tangible outcomes. Again, I think I can challenge that because I say the best measure of procurement success is compliance within an organization. And compliance within an organization depends on you developing really good interpersonal relationships across the business. The more compliance you have, the more likely you are to be able to drive savings, to be able to drive value for in your organization. So I think that soft skills are absolutely key to driving procurement success, but I think it's underestimated and undervalued because it's not as measurable as perhaps other factors.
Tom, one of our most popular topics that we cover in the Procurement Show, in fact, we've done numerous episodes that are entirely about it, negotiation. Yeah. Can this help us be better at negotiating? And how do we apply it without coming across as though we're being manipulative?
That's a really great question. And actually, big up to Jonathan, who once trained me on negotiation. So this is all down to Jonathan now. But I'm just going to say, firstly, it's important recognizing that there's a difference between negotiation and influencing. And it's something that I teach in my course in terms of in both you're looking to persuade, but negotiation is more about there's a very time-bound set of parameters around coming together on a deal, and it's more give and take. Whereas influencing is about persuasion over a longer period of time and is perhaps more subtle. So that's one thing I want to say. But in answer to your question, Paul, on the actual, can this help us with a negotiation? Yes, it absolutely can. Because if you think about the core elements of negotiation, it's all about how we're perceived, how we're communicating. And actually being self-aware again is a really important part of that. And one of the frameworks that I've developed for myself and that I teach people who come on my course is, I call it the VPN method, but effectively it's a framework for preparing yourself for a negotiation such that you're in the best possible place to be able to detach yourself emotionally, have a structured plan, and deliver the best possible negotiation. So yes, I absolutely think it's fundamental.
Are there any ways that we can test ourselves to know what level of emotional intelligence we've got?
That's a fascinating question. So I do run a test with people who come onto my course or are interested in my course. And what that test is, effectively, it comprises of three key questions. Number one is, what do you consider to be your key strengths and your key weaknesses? The second question is, when you get feedback from others, what do they tell you are your key strengths and weaknesses? And then the third one is, where is there alignment? Where is there misalignment? Now, that might sound really, really simple, and you can make that more complicated. But the point I'm trying to make here is, have you ever been in that situation? And I'd ask listeners if they've been in this situation whereby they get feedback, but they don't recognize it as being who they see themselves to be.
Yeah.
So there is a test. You can do the stakeholder test of, okay, I'm going to go out to stakeholders. You can even do it anonymously. Get some feedback and then challenge yourself to say, does that align with how I perceive myself to be? And there's been many instances, even myself, where I've actually thought, do you know what? This person said I'm a little bit hard when it comes to the negotiation and I see myself as not. You know what I mean? And then you think, well, actually, there's obviously some gap there. So hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And that happens to be a lot, actually.
Yeah, people say you're funny.
they do. And I am, obviously.
You're not, you know? Are you?
But, you know, there have been times where somebody's given me some feedback and they've said, you need to know that you're a bit of a such and such here. And I've immediately said, I'm not a such and such. Nobody could possibly accuse me of being a such and such. And they just looked at me and smiled. And I thought, oh.
Yeah, sometimes you are a bit of a such and such.
Now I get it. Yeah. But that self-awareness is built.
But you are working on your such and suchness.
My such and suchness is now down to a such.
Exactly.
I've got rid of the such and such. I've dealt with half of the problem.
Yeah.
It's just a such that's left to go.
It's time to Ask Jonathan.
And today's Ask Jonathan comes from Grace Robertson, who writes, if we have the much shorter attention spans...
You idiot.
See what I did there?
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And today's Ask Jonathan comes from Grace Robertson, who writes, if we have much shorter attention spans these days, should there be new ways to train our procurement teams and how do we do this?
Okay, next question.
Oh,
see what I did then?
I did see what you did then.
Grace, that's a really good question. Yes, we do have much shorter attention spans, it seems. And that's a real problem, especially for how we train people in procurement. It's something I've come up against. You know, being a training provider, we're used to doing an advanced negotiation training program, an advanced category management, advanced SRM. And that'll be over 3 days to take people through the level of education that you need to get to. 3 days of training, whether it's in a classroom or 6 half-days live online. That's the scale. Increasingly, I have conversations with people who say, well, we really want to do this training, but we're all a bit busy, you know, and actually people have got these jobs and they demand a lot. Can we just compress it? Well, okay. Can we do it in a morning? Well, you know, not really. I mean, it's like saying, I want to learn brain surgery, but can we just fit it into half an hour and then I can go and practice? The reality is, if you want to have any level of capability, you can't just flick a switch and have a 2-minute reel that gives you everything you need. Learning the stuff we need to learn is a mix of the knowledge that we gain, but more importantly, how we apply that and learning from experience. So all of those things coming together to give us that ability to be able to do it for real. And that takes time. It doesn't all happen in the classroom. You know, most of it actually happens when we're back within our jobs, but we need to be able to then have a structured way of making sure that that learning happens. Actually, the amount of knowledge we take in the classroom is quite small, but you've got to carry that through. So if we approach this by saying we just want nuggets and nothing else, we are not going to get good. We'll just gradually lose that edge. However, that said, some of the traditional ways of everything at once training, there are better ways of doing it where you can do the same thing, but you spread it out much more and you have much more bite size. So you learn in smaller bites, which does seem to play into the way people learn with shorter attention spans. But you've still got to cover the same ground, perhaps over a longer period, using different blended learning approaches to being able to do that. So it's a real issue. And I think what I would say to that is, don't let that argument be a reason to do less training or not so good training, but use that as a way of perhaps gaining those skills in a slightly different way, perhaps over a longer period of time.
Are there any ways you can grow it?
Grow
your attention span?
Well, I think there are ways of growing your attention span, which is about not being sucked into that world that we live in that everything we consume is tiny little bites, actually creating the time to sit and do something a little more extensively for longer that will achieve a greater result. Because if you sit and focus on something for longer, you'll probably do much more than you would if you do little bits. So I think you can do it because we've had that skill. We've just lost it in the modern world that we live in.
Very good point. And if you've got a question you'd like to ask Jonathan, here's how to get in touch.
Ask Jonathan. Email your question to jonathan@theprocurementshow.com. You might be part of the next show. The Procurement Show. The latest thinking, the greatest insights.
One of the risks I see here is that people dampen this down, that the soft skills, it's the fluffy stuff, it's the less than important stuff. The budget's a bit tight this year. We can either put everybody on a negotiation training course or we can give them time management. Yeah, let's get rid of the time management because that's not important. Is there a risk that people call it soft stuff and de-importantize it? It's not a real word, but there we go.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the word de-importantize because I think that's a great one. In fact, we'll get that added to the
English. Let's trademark
English.
It quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting, actually, because even the title soft skills almost indicates it's something that's a kind of nice to have, doesn't it? There's something a bit subtle about it, and perhaps that's something we need to think about. But I think there's a real danger that we underestimate its impact. But I think, like I alluded to at the very start, there are so many studies, and I don't want to bore you with them today, that indicate that all the best businesses, the most successful leaders, the most impactful people within business are the ones with the highest level of emotional intelligence. So we underestimate it at our peril. And I'm going to just add a little bit of present day impact here. We are now in a world where we are dangerously bamboozled by the news. We are absolutely bombarded by social media. We have technology at our fingertips. And we are in danger of losing that ability to be able to think critically. So I think that now more than ever, we are calling out for humans' emotional intelligence to solve some of the pressures we face in the world. So things like the political, social, the economic situations around the world, they are not going to be solved by artificial intelligence. They're not going to be solved by technology. They're going to be solved by people with an advanced level of soft skills coming together to be able to deliver change, impact, and collaboration. You might say, well, hang on, Tom, what's this got to do with procurement? I'll take it back a step. Procurement I believe we are the conscience of an organization. We have a massive impact on the future of our businesses. And actually, for procurement individuals, it's more key than ever that we're able to differentiate from all of those hard skills of that technology and be able to apply that level of critical thinking to make really good decisions in some really challenging times.
Having said all that, there will be people who would argue that actually we don't need to embrace our soft skills as much as we used to because, hey, AI, and I'm going to go back to
You've just done it. You've mentioned it again, haven't you? Tom did it once.
I know.
I let it go.
But AI is going to be, you know, the saviour of the day. AI will do it, so we don't need to focus about the human thing. With regards to AI, I'm wondering if there's an AI equivalent to all this as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that there's people who are developing AI tools, models, significant rates, such that they'll claim that AI can have a version of emotional intelligence. But if you think about the point on nurture versus nature and all of those things that are developed over a number of years and are very unique and personal to individuals, AI is ultimately going to be a generic tool that everyone will get access to, and it's not going to be conditioned by those environmental experiences that a human being can be. And I think, therefore, the key word we have to remember is artificial. So artificial intelligence is artificial, it's fake, it's not real. So it doesn't have the same conditions that a human being has. And when you think about that from a procurement perspective, artificial intelligence is ubiquitous. It will be available to everyone within our organization. Our differentiator cannot be there for artificial intelligence. The value of procurement cannot be reliant on something that the whole organization can have access to. It has to be based on human intelligence, our ability to be able to make good decisions, our ability to communicate, our ability to be able to collaborate, to negotiate, all of those things. And that's why I don't believe that artificial intelligence will ever get to that level where it can do all those things for us.
Good answer.
How important is networking, if we're talking about soft skills and developing an emotional intelligence, do we need to do that to improve our emotional intelligence?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
A huge element of my development was when I started to really proactively network over the last few years, because I realized there was so much I didn't know. And actually, there's so much that we can learn from by diversifying our environment. And I typically will make sure when I'm networking that I'm not just networking with like-minded people. I'm looking to challenge myself with perhaps connecting with people that I might think have a different point of view to me. That's how we develop our emotional intelligence as an adult. And actually, again, I purposely have a workshop in my course around networking because I see it as an absolutely critical part of developing our emotional intelligence, but also procurement's role within an organization. We are powerful when we have a good network, we understand the market, we have lots of colleagues that we can bounce things off. So networking, in my view, is critical.
Brilliant.
I quite like networking.
Yeah.
I like networking over dinner.
Yes, I know what you're about to say.
Or maybe over a takeaway.
Yes.
So, Tom, what are your three takeaways from today?
Number one, emotional intelligence matters more than ever in the world of artificial intelligence. Number two, you can, as an adult, learn and develop emotional intelligence. And number three, I would argue that emotional intelligence plays an even bigger role in procurement effectiveness than it does in many other professions.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much. Do you think you've got emotional intelligence?
I think I know all about being a such and such. Tom, where can people find out about your course?
Firstly, people can probably find me on LinkedIn, but I developed a newsletter which I started writing a year and a half ago. It's procurebytes.com. But effectively, if you just search procurebytes, bytes being spelled B-I-T-E-S, then you will get access to my newsletter, which is completely free to subscribe to. And every enrollment window, which happens to be every quarter, I will advertise when the next cohort is available for the enrollment to my Soft Skills Mastery course. And hopefully people can find out about it. And if they're interested, I'd love to answer any questions.
Tom Mills, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on The Procurement Show. It's been a delight to have you on board. It's been a delight to learn about emotional intelligence and soft skills. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been great to be here.
You've been listening to The Procurement Show. Contact us by email, hello@theprocurementshow.com. Connect with us on LinkedIn, search for The Procurement Show, and on Twitter, @Procurement Show. Visit us at theprocurementshow.com. The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, enabling the future of procurement in organizations around the globe. Copyright Positive Purchasing, all rights reserved. Produced by Fresh Air Studios.